Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning on VFN Radio to encourage you to shine light in maybe possibly some dark times is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. I'm looking forward to you sharing with us this morning what the Lord spoke to you about in your abiding time. Awesome.
Praise God.
And also join us this morning because John is a little jet lagged is Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Give a shout out this morning to Joanne in New York. Good morning, Joanne. Also, I want to give a shout out to Eddie. Eddie, can't wait to hear about this insanity thing going on, man. Also, a shout out to Peter and your travels out there. Shout out to all of our new listeners. I don't have the list before me, but you guys are just coming in and sitting in the virtual stadium. We're so excited about how God is bringing us together to be able to fulfill His will in our generation. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the other son of thunder. I think he's either which is lightning or boom, which is thunder. Chris Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. And here we are. You know, yesterday I had to take care of some business, and John did a wonderful job of hosting VFN Radio yesterday. Mm-hmm. And but last night, he was in travels. He got a chance to be in the studios with us yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he was heading back to New Jersey, and it just didn't go according to plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard about that, but mm-hmm. they were going through Miami, which is that means American Airlines. When I was flying American Airlines, and this is not allegedly, I was on the airline. It was just rattling. It's like the plane was like rattling the whole time. Like, my goodness, this is not good, you know, and you know, McDonald's cups rolling down the aisle. No, but it just seemed like it was, you know, is this in the air? Is this a plane? Are we going to make it? Mm-hmm. And that the cleaners didn't clean it, it didn't look like. And it just seemed kind of just like this thing should be firmer for flying. Mm-hmm. Either way, I don't know if it was American Airlines or not, but I do know this. They were going through Miami and with the kids because they had a chance to be at Adam's wedding. And it was beautiful. It was so beautiful to see all the people dressed up and to see Maya and Isaiah and Elijah. You should have seen that a lot. I got some pictures I got to show you guys of Isaiah and Elijah in their tuxedos.
Yeah.
Oh, big old red tie, red vest, black tux, and looking all sharp, and Maya with her little half-inch high heels on. Just a beautiful, beautiful children, and of course, yeah, a beautiful mother, Teresa. Anyway, so they fly into Miami. It's a huge plane. They're getting on to come to Jersey, and everything, they evacuate them off the plane. Mm. And they all had to get off of the plane in Miami when they just got on it. They waited to get on it, got on it, and they had to sit and wait. And this is like maybe midnight.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, they were supposed to be in bed by that time.
Right.
And so with that, they didn't get into like 3 o'clock this morning. Mm. 3 o'clock this morning. And I was gonna he's gonna be on the air. But you know, I don't think he's gonna be on with us this morning. That would be really a bundle of joy, right?
Yeah, right.
There's nothing worse. I remember flying back from California and from overseas and all that, and it's just these long trips on like a small cramped in straitjacket. Mm-hmm. With people right next to you that you can't stretch out unless you run for the seats like we did. We were in Israel.
Yeah,
we jumped on them. They have 5 seats in the middle. It's like, run for your lives, get it. Mm-hmm. We ate so much chocolate I couldn't sleep. So he won't be joining us this morning, but yeah, keep him in your prayers for recovery from a jet lag. You know, that's a major thing right there. I know we had a chance too, you know, we're all together And I understand, you know, John obviously talked about this too, but there is my viewpoint as well. That, you know, we're riding, we went out, you know, where we were taking some photos and stuff. There was a photo shoot. And Pat just wanted some new shots of himself. And and
I could have been sleeping.
You could have been. I think you were. Only your eyes ever opened the whole time.
Oh, well.
It's bright, wasn't it?
It was bright.
It was bright. And so that's for when you see, if you ever see these, if you ever see these photos, realize first of all that John made a mound from sand. I'm like, what are you doing? And we're in on the island, Pensacola island out there, and he's pushing all this dirt together with his shoes. I'm like, what do you know? You don't do that with your shoes, you know? I'm realizing he's making a little mountain to stand on.
He's making a footstool.
I was like, man, how did you get up to my shoulder? And so anyway, we had a great time and taking pictures and all that. So we're coming back. We're riding around in, you know, Pat's limousine. He gave us a ride out there. You know,
right.
And what do you have now? It's like a DeLorean. What is it?
Right. What's a Yukon?
Oh, it's a Yukon.
Oh.
It takes four oil rigs in the back of a house to run this thing. Luckily, he lives by a nuclear plant and biofuels.
All right, yeah.
Man, you got fuel for days. A lot of biofuel and nuclear stuff. Anyway, and so we're riding along, you know, and just having this wonderful moment. And then a piece of paper drops. It just kind of floats down to the floor of his truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he almost runs off the road. No, he didn't run in his head. I mean, he couldn't drive straight anymore. I don't know what it was. Well, I don't understand it. You know, so I had to experiment to see what happened. So I took another piece of paper. And I just intentionally threw this on the floorboard, and his skin began to crawl. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness.
Oh,
but I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. So then I took some more paper. And threw it. I'm like, I'm thinking based on my scientific experiment here of sociology, he doesn't like stuff on his floorboard. Now, he had it shoved all in the little drink things and all that kind of stuff, but in regards to the floor, his floorboards were just spick and span. Now, every little crevice above the floorboard, you know, was totally just all that stuff I was throwing the floorboard.
Yeah.
He was picking up,
yeah,
putting
thanks
the
to
thing.
You guys.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. So if you happen to be riding with Pat somewhere, you know, bring extra napkins so you could just watch the social experiment. It was amazing. It was totally amazing. Because the reason why is because, of course, we rode in, you know, my truck for years, and he had to wait. You know, when I spent all those years in law enforcement, you know, you don't have like a tidy little garbage can somewhere in there. You know, regards to papers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would just set it in the right front floorboard of the passenger on the floor there, and you, when you get out of the car, you know, you empty that out. In theory. And for years, he's been kicking stuff around. I had no idea. That's a love thing, you know. We were talking about, you know, dying to yourself and loving others. That truly was a, all those times he rode with trash up to his knees. That was love, man. Who would ever thunk it? And so that was a pretty good social experiment. I thought it was definitely, you know, pretty interesting. By the way, wisdom gained by John.
Mm-hmm.
And material gained by us for the radio program. Yeah, here they are. They finally get on the plane at midnight. Of course, you got to go from Florida, Miami, Florida,
mm-hmm.
which is basically Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're 90 miles away from Cuba, so it's a long ways away, geographically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to fly all the way up to New Jersey. And you're thinking, well, look, we're going to sleep. This is a great time to sleep. But right. No, they had not yet gained the wisdom that you don't feed your little girl a big Coke.
Oh, no.
He sent me this picture of Maya, man. She's looking. This is midnight now. And I can tell in a still shot, I can tell she had an adrenaline just cranked to the max, sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger, dear Mr. Universe. She's like, ah! I'm looking like, oh, they're not going to sleep the whole flight, you know. So wisdom, if you're about to get on a plane, project in advance. You don't want to give sugars to your children.
Or caffeine.
Caffeine. And imagine if it's a long flight, you're going to want to sleep, and everybody on that plane is going to want to sleep. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Bill Cosby talking about that time. He says he was this little single mother was on an airplane with her child, and the whole time the child was just like, Yamaya wasn't doing this, but this child was like just turned backwards and talking to everybody, wouldn't let nobody sleep, was just like, talking. And, you know, crying, doing all kinds of different things. And everybody was just wired this whole flight. Mm. And then right before, it says, please buckle your seatbelts. We're coming in for a landing. The kid just passes out. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, everybody's like experiencing another social experiment inside of them. And she grabs this little boy, and he's just draped over her arms, you know, just passed out. Innocence. And carries him in both her arms off the plane, down the ramp, and carries him, and the father's coming to meet them. Mm-hmm. And she takes the son, and she puts the son in the father's arms, and then she knocks the stew out of him.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah, he's like, don't ever let me fly alone with this boy. He's like, how stressful it was. Oh, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what Bill Cosby did it. He told that story. I love his dentist story, too. Yubi Gabba. Well, you know, here we are. It is Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I just had an enjoyable scene here. Man, the VFN Torch. If you haven't seen the VFN Torch lately, I want to encourage you, you know, go to your highlights. The highlights are you're coming alive now as you're seeing the, you know, VFN TV app. 3.0 is progressing there, and you'll notice that all your highlights have a progressively more and more imagery that helps you locate a highlight. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the word highlight, mm-hmm. but you actually see the same picture that you see on the torch, and it just comes alive. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're hearing from one of our listeners that was on the app, and they saw R.A. Dickey's you picture there, and you got a chance to be able to hear it. Once you see that, it locks you in and go, oh, that's what this is about. You can quickly, visually, you know, grab, you know, what you're being led to listen to that day or what you're trying to find again. So that's I'm excited about that. Things are coming together. And VFN TV 3.0 is soon to be fully released any mm-hmm. moment now.
Yes.
Any moment now. I guess you heard this. You know, our president, President Barack Obama, mm-hmm. Spoke at the United Nations.
Right.
And then when you're speaking to the United Nations, you have to hear, you know, speeches are very important. We've lost the historical perspective of speeches, but realize that, you know, how God advances his kingdom is through the spoken word, is through somebody's ability to debate, you know, debating. That was the key to success in America, the world in general, but in America, mm-hmm. was your ability to give a speech. And ability to debate, you know, and you go to Harvard, you'd watch debates, and you have to be able to switch back and forth, you know, pro and con. You got to go back and forth. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to pick one viewpoint mm-hmm. and argue it, because all of a sudden the professor would say, okay, switch. And now you got to quit arguing for it, and you got to start arguing against it. And that's one thing we need to really do is to be, you know, aware of that personally, that, you know, don't just put your viewpoints in a box and assume you're right. You know, find out what God has to say about it. And then here's somebody's, you know, viewpoint. Hear what they're saying, because you might find out in what they're saying is that 80% of what they're saying is right. It's just mm-hmm. the 20% that tainted the waters. And you can be in agreement with them at 80%, and then you can start talking to them about the 20% and what God says, for example. And so debating and speech giving, you know, was a very powerful tool. And the truth is, it still is a powerful tool. People just act like it's not. And so when somebody gives a speech, understanding that our present leaders, there's only like 44, 45 presidents ever been in America, I guess he's the president of almost 45, that 44.
I think it's 44 right now.
Yeah. 44. That's a small group of men, 44. And they got there because of their ability to give a speech, you know, because, you know, that type of thing. And so when you hear somebody give a speech, especially a president, realize there's speech writers. There's people that are writing every single word, every single adjective, every single noun. They are placing it on the grid of humanity, on the grid of the world, on the grid of the nation, on, sad to say, on the grid of their political parties. I mean, they're thinking this thing through. They're putting it on a grid of their value system, their vision for America, you know, their vision for what they're, where they're wanting to take America, for example, and how they perceive America in the world. So you, every word's important. So you can't just, like, you know, hear an overview and just go, that was nice. Because if you hear any speech, almost every speech you ever hear is political. If you listen to them in an overview, you can almost every single time just go, wow. But if you're a person who's not into that, you're going to listen, understand the significance of that. You'll listen to every word. And it's, and you may have 10 different groups, for example, and say these 10 different groups have an agenda. Right. And they're hoping that the president or a senator or congressman or whoever is going to support their agenda. Right. So they're listening in that text of that speech. Are they, is he mentioning, is he talking about us? Mm-hmm. And what did he say about us? Now, people without agendas, you know, don't listen that well. mm-hmm. And every Christian, every constitutionalist and every Christian, you know, our agenda is to maintain a free America, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, you know, the Constitution, and the freedom of us to worship and to gather. And so we do have an agenda. Mm-hmm. Our agenda is freedom.
Right.
To follow God. And so we need to listen. We need to listen to every single speech. We need to listen to every speech your local people make. When people say, well, you know, I'm not running for national office, therefore I don't have a viewpoint on this. And you go, well, okay, well, I won't vote for you then. Because you want to know, you want to know from the top to bottom, you know, you have an obligation to share with me what your viewpoint is. You know, not necessarily your party affiliation, but what's your viewpoint? Mm-hmm. What's your values?
All right.
And you want to know that so you can make a decision. You're asking me to make a decision for you, but you're not telling me your value system. Well, I'll never be faced with a decision like that. Well, you're right, because I'm not going to vote for you. And hopefully nobody else will if you're not going to share the truth about how you feel. And it's going to become more and more relevant as we move along. But in his speech, the president said in his speech at the United Nations, you have to understand, this is on the heels of, you know, great unrest across the world. This is on the hills of the prophetic words that we've been hearing and seeing fulfilled. This is on the hills of our president going to his first international speech in Cairo, Egypt, to be able to say that it is my job as president of the United States to fight against every negative stereotype of Islam in the world, no matter where it is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the text of the speech. And we have that on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and see that. And there seems to be a huge bias towards, you know, because at the same time, it's like, what about the negative stereotypes of Christianity? You know, America's full of it. Every film that comes out of Hollywood, you got to buy devices just to be able to see anything coming out of Hollywood that filters out all of the negative things they say about Christianity and our values.
Right.
And yet, you know, here we are at the United Nations now. He's already told Israel that, and we're talking, you know, God's news behind the news. What's the perspective here? Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is crying out for help. We got, and think of it this way. It's not just Benjamin Netanyahu. This is God putting us all on the scales of justice. This is Jacob.
Right.
This is, think of Israel as the apple of God's eye. Think of Israel as our measuring stick in regards to how do we respond to God. And at the very end, this is what it says in the Bible, which only 18% of self-professing Christians are reading, according to George Barna, and only 3% are concerned about where they are on the map of God's word, is every nation will be judged on how we responded to Israel. What do we do with the land? What did we do with the land? And so what you're looking at, the God was speaking through Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. He was speaking through Jacob. It says, you know, where are you going to stand on judgment day? Where are you going to stand when I began to judge the world? Every nation will be judged in how they dealt with the land of Israel. And it was like God laying it out before us. I mean, it was like we just had some simple, you know, whiteboard with a bowling ball looking drawing with a little, you know, Acme bomb thing that you see in the Roadrunner, some sort of bomb with a fuse. I mean, it was so basic that nobody, I mean, you don't have to be in Harvard to figure this out.
Right.
And you don't have to speak English to figure this out or Arabic or Hebrew. I mean, it was obvious.
Plain as day.
And he was talking about where to draw the line. And think about this. Think about this. God's telling us through Israel right now, where will you stand on judgment day when I'm judging every nation, every ethnos, for where you stood about the land of Israel? And that's what we're here. VFM Radio is here to give you a biblical perspective. You know, forget about all, don't get all caught up in this roller coaster ride of these emotions and polls and everything. Realize, you know, the whole world just was given a referendum by God through Israel, through the prime minister of Israel, you know, and Israel and Jacob. That's, you know, Jacob got his name Israel when he wrestled with God. And so when you hear Jacob and you hear Israel, it's the same people. And what do we do with Israel? We're going to be judged based on that. And so Iran's saying, you know, we're going to annihilate them. We're going to push them off the face of the earth. We're not going to be happy until, you know, that, you know, and they're openly saying this. This is not like something you have to say, well, so-and-so reports and allegedly this is going on. I mean, this is what he's saying in the United Nations.
Oh, yeah.
He's publicly saying this, and he says, we're trying to get a nuclear bomb to be able to do this. And what Benjamin Netanyahu told us, and this is what John was talking about yesterday, is that they are in the second phase, and we have to draw the line now in the second phase before they finish the second phase, because if they finish the second phase, the last phase could only be 2 weeks or so. And I think about, PTL. What's the founder of PTL?
Jim Baker.
Yeah, Jim Baker went to, you know, jail for some false accusations that panned out to be unproven, and he was released on that stuff. And but while he was in there, God gave him 33 prophetic words, 33 of them. And we'll see if we can make these available today. Remind me to make these available today on the VFN torch for you. And I think 32 out of the 33, all but one of them, we'll just say that because I'm trying to hit numbers here. All but one of them has come to pass. All but one. And you know what the last one is? It's nuclear material. I think it's in Kedron Valley. Remember Kedron, we were there on the wall overlooking Kedron Valley.
Right.
Which means, you know, will Israel use nuclear power to stop Iran? And it's going to be, you have to stop everybody at the same time, because it's not like you can focus on one nation, because you got, it's like a trembling cup the way God said it would be.
Right.
And there was nuclear material in Israel. And so our president, here he is, this is you understand who our president is. He's us. We're so divided in the land that we act like that our spouses are not us, that our children are not us, that our neighbor is not us, that a political party is different than us is not us. And it's like, we're Americans. You know, it's one people. And so when you see our leader that, you know, the majority of Americans voted for, you know, that is us. You know, and we can individually, of course, stand right before God in regards to Israel, and we do. But as a nation, as a whole, that's us, which means you can stand right before God. You can honor Israel. You can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we've been praying for, I mean, think about this. I wish I could share with you the prayer. I don't have the prayer up, but we've been praying a very specific prayer over Israel for years now. Because we have a prayer, in VFN family, we have a virtual, you know, VFN, Vine Fellowship Network Prayer and Fasting Community, that we come and do 3-hour watches during that time. And then totals 24 hours, and we've been doing that for quite some time, thousands of hours. But we pray for Israel's part of those prayers, very specific. And one that we specifically pray about is the bombs.
Yeah.
We pray that that God would prevent, to cancel, to uncover, and stop any car, bus, nuclear, suicide bomb, I mean, every kind of bomb, uncover and stop it.
Right.
Is that not true? This is true. This is what we've been doing for years.
Sure.
And we also have been praying that God would give the Prime Minister of Israel wisdom and to be able to stand up for us. And you look at him. I mean, we got the Prime Minister standing up like we've been praying.
Mm-hmm.
We have him drawing a picture of a bomb that we've been praying against.
Right.
And it's like, so we've been standing with Israel. Plus, we're connected with CUFI, and you can too. CUFI.org, Christians United for Israel, keeps America's leaders' feet to the fire about Israel. And believe me that they're listening. The Palestinians know about CUFI. And there's things like CUFI in Congress that keeps them from getting their way with just one or two of our leaders. We support, we're connected to Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv and supporting him. As a matter of fact, he's going to be in Jacksonville, I think, again soon. And you can do that individually, but understand if you're in a nation that's turning its ways against Israel, that nation's going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And God may spare you, but you're not the nation. See what I'm saying? And so our president, the president of the United States, stands before the United Nations after he told Israel, "I will not meet with you,"
right,
because he had to go do The View. And the other day I flipped on online to see a piece of that. The interview, and he says, "I'm just here to be eye candy."
Yeah,
I'm just here to be eye candy. I'm like, you're calling your content in New York that you're gonna talk like that? Why Israel is weighing in the balance, and they might not live. They will live,
right,
but in the context of what we know as a people and what's happening and the threat that's coming against them, and you're gonna go meet with Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg and whoever these other ones are that are on the show. And he and his wife was there, and his wife did most of the talking that was there. Mm-hmm. Michelle did. And he said, this is what he said. He said that Michelle's the only one that can make me angry. There's nobody, and he just keeps his calm and his cool.
Right.
And so Barbara says, "Well, how do you do that?" And she says, "A whole bunch of ways." Ding, ding, ding.
Wow.
Anyway, so that's not the place to be when Israel's being threatened as America's leader. Remember, we're one country, we're one people, we're a nation. We're a nation. We're talking about a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't yet, seen on VFN TV, you got to see, is the nation under God's judgment? You're going to be so blown away when you understand that God lets us know in advance, and you can understand the times that we're in. You need to go to VFN TV, and you need to watch. Take time. Stop the television viewing that just have whatever, and go listen or watch, is the nation under God's judgment? And you're going to see right before your very eyes, we're in the final phase as a nation of being judged if we don't turn. But when you understand, it's going to give you an understanding of what God's looking for. And if you find out what he's looking for, we can do what he wants, and then we can have what we want was our nation. And so we need to listen. So you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it. You want to watch it now. And when we come right back, I'm going to tell you what our president said in regards to Islam and the prophet of Islam and what happened. You're just going to be blown away of where we are in the context of prophetic history. Be right back. Think about that. Promise keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what got birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive. You know, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today, and what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app. But they like us, and so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat, based on what we presently see. Where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord. You know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app. You have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, And of course, you know, I love those apps.
Apps? Wait, tell me, what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, and I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and Chris. You know, we're just talking right before the break about what's taking place as a nation. You know, is America under God's judgment? Please make sure it's not a history lesson for you. Watch it now, why it's prophecy, which is history in advance, so we can change history. You can change history when we listen prophetically, which is history in advance, what God says will happen if we do this or what will happen if we do that. And so here we are at this moment in time, and things just move faster today. I wish my brain moved faster, but things move so fast right now. You have to narrow down to what you're going to focus on that day and put aside 98% of what's going on. But here our president, we were just talking about, you know, where we stand in the context of Israel as a nation. And Israel said, the president told Israel that, told Benjamin Netanyahu, which is the prime minister, which is Israel, America told Israel, we'll put it that way. He said, if you bomb Iran, you're on your own. And Iran's openly saying we want to annihilate them. And Valerie Jarrett, his personal assistant, who said on C-SPAN, while I was watching her being interviewed during the DNC, that she went to lunch with President Obama, well, that Senator Obama then, and his wife, Michelle, and they were talking. And she said they were, I think, wanting to know if he was the man that they wanted to support or whatever. And he saw how she listened to Michelle. And this is her statement. She said, you know, I saw that he listens to his wife. When I knew that he listens to his wife, you know, this is somebody that, you know, I can support. And then, of course, then we watch The View, and he says, and she says, you know, nobody can upset him but me. So he listens to the one who can upset him. Did you have, you know what I'm saying? This is like, this is like interesting stuff. But Valerie Jarrett, you know, she, you know, I was interested in her because I thought she's a pretty cool woman. I'm thinking from a distance, I'm looking and watching, and I thought, you know, just felt, you know, thought she's pretty cool, you know, what's going on, how, you know, it's great to have people around you that can help you out in decision making. And I didn't realize every decision was being run through her, it seems, allegedly. And So then I go, I see a particular organizational chart for, you know, these communist parties and things are taking place in America, and we'll be talking about that in the future, and communism, socialism, different things. And I saw, you know, her last name in there, but it was a man's name. So, and she, you know, thinking, well, this could be her husband or something. Let me go find out, you know, about her. And I went to the Wikipedia type stuff that you know, could be good or bad or whatever. But one thing it was accurate about, and it wasn't her husband, this whole thing, the communist thing was not connected to her in that sense, what I was looking at. And you remember that of all the, in the Arab Spring, of all the nations that cried out for help and something didn't even cry out for help, we swung in there to the rescue. We publicly spoke against their leaders. We said, it's time for you to step down. This is what our president was saying during that time.
Right.
He praised the Arab Spring and thought it was good. He empowered the Muslim Brotherhood through his, we're the most powerful nation in the world. America's the most powerful nation in the world. So when the president of the most powerful nation in the world shows up and brings somebody to the forefront and speaks positively about them, even though they're banned in Egypt, you know, that brings them to a new level. And he kind of just basically built a speech. And in that speech is when he said, I consider it my job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype.
Right.
To fight against it in the world, no matter where it's at. And of course, eventually Muslim Brotherhood became president. One of the members of Morsi became president of Egypt. And so this, you put all this together and you start thinking about it. And then you look at, you know, our ambassador who just got killed, horrifically killed, the Marines that got killed. And I got news for you. And I'm going to pause it. We got to hear this. It's just really encouraging me. A new general I've never seen before. We have more of our soldiers killed yesterday from the people that we're mentoring in Afghanistan. And one of the arguments, the viewpoint about that, I understand it, this makes sense, is the fact that when we gave the Taliban a timeline that we're going to come out, the very ones we were mentoring, now what we're telling them, we're going to leave you on this date. And so they have to build a loyalty to the Taliban now. They have to prove that I'm not one of these Americans. I'm one of you. And so this particular viewpoint that they're, some of the guys are sharing makes a lot of sense, because you don't tell your enemy, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be at the bank for the next 3 months. So, hey, if you don't mind, you know, they're going to rob the bank. And it's horrific what's going on. I can't believe it. But nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying anything about, you know, where's the fury? Where's the anger? Where's the betrayal? And nobody's just like kind of reasoning away why our sons and daughters and mothers and fathers are dead. But he said this, and I'm like, oh, it's so refreshing. You know, he said, I'm mad as hell about this. And I'm that felt so good. That felt so good for somebody's mad that over 2,000 of our men and women are dying, and we're dying, you know, for friendly fire, you know, like 50, 60. And every day they're just being, you know, I was like, yeah, we should get mad as hell about this. And then we should drop us to our knees and cry out to God and say, you know, what are we doing wrong? But getting mad, get upset about your, if it was your son dying, you'd be upset. If it was your mother, your father, you know, people are not expendable. The thing about, the unique thing about America is that we say every life is important, you know, and I love that about Israel, that they won't leave one man behind. And we have to get back to that. And so he says, listen, we're willing to sacrifice a lot, but we're not willing to be murdered for this. And I thought, oh my
God.
I think, man, I don't know who you are, General, but finally, and of course, by doing that, unless he got a permission, because he is under the commander in chief. I mean, that's like a dichotomy, a totally different turnaround. And we need to get our guys out of there. If we're thinking about getting them out of there, we're trying to just take them now.
Yeah.
Not one more life should be lost over there. Not one more mother, not one more father, not one more son, not one more daughter. Don't play politics with the lives of our people.
Right.
And but then it felt refreshing. It's like, oh, sanity. You know, you should be mad when people are killing your brothers and sisters. You know, especially when you've done all this to mentor them, to empower them, to get them out of that, and then they're turning on you. But that argument makes good sense. Like, if you're leaving me,
right,
then we're dead. And, you know, you and I had the privilege of of not privilege, but we saw how they treat what they perceive or not on their side. Remember when they lined them all up and they shot and they went all the way down a straight line and shot every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that's how they treat. That's how they're going to treat those that they believe that are not on, you know, the extreme Islamic Taliban, you know, side over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. Our president is at the United Nations. He's making this speech in the context of all this is going on. There's fires. Our ambassador's killed. He's talking about some video. It's the cause of a video when, you know, they come out later on saying it's not the cause of the video, which means you said something that was not true in front of the United Nations and the world to be able to see, just to stir more people up about some video, trying to keep people away from what's really going to come out of that shower head at the concentration camp in a little bit. And so he makes this speech, and this is what he says, and it's so important. He says, the future, this is the president, this is President Barack Obama saying this to the world.
Right.
He said, the future must not belong. The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. What is he saying? He said, okay, let's look at today's the present. That means tomorrow's the future. So who is he saying the future should not be in our future? He's saying that those who slander the prophet Muhammad, is Muhammad, should not be in the future. And the thing is that, you know, if only 18% of Christians, professing Christians, are reading their Bible, that may, you know, in a logical sense, like, what's the big deal with that? Well, you have to understand what that means in the context of that. The Quran specifically says in Surah 572, Islam teaches that Christians blaspheme when they proclaim Christ is the Son of God. So the future does not belong to those who blaspheme or slander Muhammad. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to talk bad about him. Well, that's not what's going on. Pastor Youssef in Iran went to jail not because he talked bad about Muhammad. He didn't talk bad about him.
Mm-hmm.
He just said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's considered blaspheme. In Surah 572. And so we got to know what we're talking about when we sit here and say that, you know, when our president says the future does not belong to people who profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hello! And the church sits, we're like in a vacuum. A vacuum, if you're in a vacuum, it just kind of just sucks the air out. When the air is gone, sound doesn't travel because sound is sound waves. So therefore, if you're in a vacuum, there is no sound. It's like absent of sound moving. It doesn't move. And which means when I say that it's like America and the church is in a vacuum, we're in a vacuum.
Right.
And the church is deathly silent and secretly sneaking around and not even open enough to say who I'm standing up for. From my local school board all the way up to the president of the United States, terrified to stand up for what's right and their values. Don't even know what the Ten Commandments say and being okay and saying, you know, I want to put them back on a wall over here. Being okay with God's people, not even knowing his voice or reading his word or being concerned where they are in the context of their heart, in the context of that. And our American leader, America just said to Israel, just said to us, the church, just said to us that we don't belong in the future.
Hmm.
And the church doesn't even know it. They talk about the Quran that one of our presidents had in his library. He had it printed so that America could read it to find out what I'm telling you. It wasn't so he could be a Muslim. It's so he could understand the Muslims. It's so he could understand Islam. Listen, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Understand by saying that Muhammad is a true prophet of God is saying that he heard from God, and that specifically that which if he heard from God, then Jesus is not the Son of God, because he says that Jesus is not the Son of God. As a matter of fact, he says he denies, they deny Jesus the Son of God and deny the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. When you hear Allah, think God, not God, but think the word God. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, don't be confused over languages. You know, understand that America, there's other languages than Spanish and English. And when the word in the Quran in Surah 3:19, it says, surely the true religion with Allah or God is Islam. So they say that's the true is religion. And those who were given the book, which is the Quran, did not disagree. But after knowledge had come to them out of mutual envy. And whoso denies the signs of Allah or denies the signs of their God, then surely Allah is quick at reckoning. This is their God and who they believe. In the Quran in Surah 385, and we'll hopefully make this available on the VFN Torch for you, and whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, I'm reading from the Quran here, mm-hmm. Whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam is sure not to be accepted of him, which is Allah or their mm-hmm. God. And in the hereafter, he shall be among the losers. How shall Allah guide a people who disbelieved after their belief and after they bore witness that the messenger is true and after clear proof of Allah's sovereignty, mm-hmm. is not sovereign, had come unto them. And Allah guideth not wrongdoing folk. As for these, their reward is that upon them is the curse of Allah and the angels and of men altogether. And he goes on and says, again, in the Quran, in Surah 551, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. And whoever amongst you takes them for a friend, then surely he is one of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to read it and understand. Wow. So when somebody says that they're a follower of Islam, they're saying that I believe that Muhammad heard from God and Michael, the angel, gave him the Quran. And there's so many different twistings of the reality of what's going on. So you can't just say, hey, these are like bipolar opposites.
Yeah.
They're bipolar opposites. That's why you see them working so hard to shut the mouths of Jews and Christians, because they have to control it, right? Because they can't believe it, right?
Right.
But the difference is because our God's alive.
Right.
And we have eternal life with him. And the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, whom they deny as the Son of God. They just say he was a prophet. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand this is what's being said. When he says the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, which is Muhammad, that's just saying that you love Jesus and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You got two things going on. First of all, you're saying that Jesus is God because he's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You're also saying that he is the Son of God, which God is the Father. Mary, the Virgin Mary, is the mother, and God's Spirit hovered over Mary, and the seed of God went into the womb of woman. And all man, all God, Jesus, was born. They say that didn't happen.
Right.
And so you have to understand that is just to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God is considered speaking against or slandering Muhammad, because it would say like Muhammad is not telling the truth. It's that would say you're calling Muhammad a liar.
Right.
It's like, well, aren't you calling Jesus a liar? And it's like, ah, this is not going to be some sort of peaceful transaction. Right? I mean, everybody, you know, especially Americans, you know, they're like, oh, can't we just talk this through? Well, you can't compromise with Jesus, you know, and you can love your enemies. You can pray for them, but understand just saying that Jesus is the Son of God is considered confrontational to those who are loyal followers of Muhammad that follow the full Quran. And definitely the radical, you know, Islam, you know, part of that. And so you're not going to get along in the context of that. And so the question is going to come, are we going to be like Pastor Youssef in Iran and say, well, I'm still, you know, and let me encourage you to do something here, because we're coming to the end of this first hour and we'll pick this up in the second. And I want to hear what the Lord said to you in your abiding time. Is you don't assume you have a relationship with God. You should know that you have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It is not time for you to be caught up in America's religion. It's not time for you to say, hey, my Sunday school attendance is 100%. You got 15 certificates because you've been baptized and you went through catechism and all those different things. It's time for you to know Jesus. You're going to have to know him. Listen, it's going to boil down to, who do you say Jesus is? Do you say he's a prophet like Islam? Or do you say he's a son of God like Peter and like those who acknowledge him as the only way to God? I mean, it's coming. Listen, you cannot fake it till you make it. You're fixing a question is being brought to you right now. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he somebody that you avoid on all occasions, but you give him penance by showing up once or twice a month at a building somewhere? Mm-hmm. You know, squeezing your way through 15 minutes of a teaching, not knowing, if somebody held a gun to your head after that, you couldn't even tell them what it was about. Even though you say that was great, and you go, what was it? They go, I can't tell you. You can't do that anymore. You're going to have to know him. You need to know him. You need to get into his word. You need to begin to abide with him. Listen, right now, if you don't have a plan to do this, most people want to do this, they just don't know how to do it. And religion makes it look so complicated that people just say, I have to let you do it and you tell me about it. That's not, God says, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. You have to know his voice. Mm-hmm. You have to hear God speak to you. We have a plan for you right now at iabide.org. Go to iabide.org and instantly just request that simple plan. Instantly it'll come to you and you'll have it right then at that one moment, and begin now to abide with the Lord. Don't waste another moment, another time. Listen, you're not going to be able to depend on your political party. You're not going to be able to depend on your neighbor. You're going to have to depend on Jesus Christ. It's time for the professed loyalty to be a reality in your life. It is time for us as the church to be the church and begin to follow the great shepherd. Well, God bless. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Make sure you come into the extra hour today, because we're going to continue this talk and just share with you the significance of what's going on in this time. For those that can't join us in the extra hour, catch us on the VFN Torch, catch us at VFNTV.com or on your app. God bless. And those that join us, we'll see you on the other side.